Good morning. I welcome you all to worship service with God's love and Christ's grace. My name is Jinwoo Chan. I'm the pastor of this wonderful community of faith. You know, thank you for joining us this morning. If you have someone with you, please tell them, I'm so glad you are here with me. And if you are alone, then you can tell me. So we are together in spirit. And I'd like to encourage you to write down any name comes into your mind this morning. You know, I've been thinking of this person, but I haven't talked to this person for a while. So after service, you call this one, and then you let this one know that she or he is loved and cared. But do it after service, not now, okay? Good. We are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us worship God, our God, together.
As we pray together this morning, I'd like you to recall some words from a favorite Sunday school song. I know we've all sung at one time or another. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. And so we pray, ever-present God, that wherever we are, whatever we do, especially in this time of separation, we may be the church incarnate. Inspire each of us, dear Lord, that we may be for others the building, the steeple, the resting place they are looking for. Help us to spread peace and never be afraid, because you are with us each hour of every day. Urge us to show our faith, steadfast, strong, and true. We know you will guide us in all that we do. Teach us to love and show that we believe, reaching out to others so everyone can see that I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, we are the church together. And let us sing the first song. We are called, as a church, we are called to God's mission and ministries. Let us sing it out and praise God.
I wondered if you all could do something for me. If you could look around your house for something. A photo album of some sort, whether it is a baby photo album. Might have most of your fun baby pictures might be on your parents' phone. Well, Josiah's really excited to show you the pictures, let's see. So he's got a couple. That one's pretty funny. When I look at this photo album, and it's probably similar with your mom and dad, I remember what it was like when Josiah was that young. It also reminds me of when Josiah was born. He had a really hard time being born, and we needed a lot of help from doctors, and we needed a lot of prayer. And at times it seemed kind of scary, but you know what? We prayed, and Joseph's here, and a parent looks at their child for the first time when they're born. Or the first time that they smile. The first time that when you smile, are you embarrassed? The first time that you smile at your parents, it is the most amazing moment, and it's hard to imagine feeling closer to God than in that moment when you're seeing this new life look up at you and smile. It's so wonderful. And now look at you. You become your own creature. And God walks with you every day, even still. You know, it can be hard to remember that when times are a little bit tough. God doesn't always seem close, right? Sometimes God might seem far away.
Right.
Once you're done looking at your album together, maybe remembering some things together as a family, if you have a Bible at home that you could pull out also to look at. May not have a Bible at home, and that's okay. If you want ideas or recommendations, just email me or call me, let me know. But, and I think a lot of you have this Bible. JoJo, what's this one? The
Spark.
Yeah, Spark Bibles are pretty cool. One of our favorites also is the Desmond Tutu Bible. This is much shorter. It doesn't have as many stories, but it's very good. And I just wanted to point out a few stories here. The story of Abraham reaching out and trusting God in a moment when he thought he was all alone and was never going to have a child. God said, your children will be like the stars in the universe. Or when Moses and God liberated the people from Egypt and helped them cross the Red Sea to freedom. So we remember these stories in the Bible because our prayer for the day, our song for the day, is this one that you got in your email. And the prayer is, remember the wonderful works God has done. So when we remember things that God has done, it can help us. Because again, things can seem kind of tough sometimes. It can be hard to remember when God is with us. Maybe during quarantine, you've had a few moments here where you're just like, I don't know where God is right now. It's really hard to find God. So when we remember when God has been close to us, when we remember that God has taken us out of hard times before and will continue to be with us even when we're going through hard times now, it can help us. So take those photo albums that you have, and remember, this is kind of like God's photo album. And these are like little snapshots in time so that we can remember when God has been faithful to God's people, and that we can remember all the wonderful works God has done. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for all your wonderful works. For taking care of us, even when we don't see you. Help us to remember that you are with us always. Amen. Bye, everybody.
The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." And now a reading from Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And finally, from John 13:35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do you remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago? Yes? No? Come on. It's just been 2 weeks. Let me give you a hint. Friendly fire? Does it ring a bell? Okay. Please say after me. It's okay to have a different opinion. It is okay to have a different views. It is okay to be different. Good, thank you. It is okay to be different, but it is not okay to shoot and kill our allies. It is not okay to attack other siblings in Christ. It is not okay to hurt other children of God. It is not okay to let your religious passion override the love, the compassion Jesus Christ commanded in His greatest commandment. 2 weeks ago, God reminded us that we are allies, not enemies. Regardless of different political views and theological orientations. Why? Because we have the same commander. We Christians have one and only commander. Who is it? Who is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our one and only commander, the commander. In a battlefield, the soldiers have no choice but following the commander's order. Today, we are in a spiritual battle. And we have no choice but obeying the commander's commandments. But the challenge is, Jesus Christ, our commander, commanded many things and many different interpretations on them. However, among them, what is the greatest commandment? You must love, did you hear me? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. Matthew 22:37-40. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. What does it mean? It means if I break this greatest commandment, in order to follow other religious laws, I am not obeying Jesus Christ. In other words, if my passion for the righteous laws and regulations override my compassion for other children of God, something is terribly wrong, and I am no longer aligned with the heart of God. If I discriminate and dehumanize other human beings to keep other religious laws and rules, I violate the greatest commandment of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us this morning, do not let anything override the compassion for other children of God. Do not refuse my will in my name. In the story from Luke, which is well known as the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three people who found a Jewish traveler who was attacked by a bandit and became half dead. Who are they? A priest? A temple assistant? Yes? And the third one? This easy one? Good Samaritan. Then who is a bad guy and who is a good guy? It's the easy one. All right. Yeah? Easy one? Yeah, probably most of us may say, you know, the bad guys are the priest and the temple assistant, and good guy is the Samaritan. Then why do you think the priest and the temple assistant are bad guys? According to religious laws and rules, they are not bad guys at all. They are rather religiously right people. Priests must not touch corpses, you know, dead bodies, corpses, nor can they be in the intimate presence of the dead. The only exception is for their close relative, such as parents and children. Leviticus 21, verses 1 through 3. A priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean for any of his people who die, except for a close relative, such as his mother or father, his son or daughter, his brother or unmarried sister who is dependent on him since she has no husband. For her, he may make herself unclean. Numbers 19, verse 13. Whoever touches the dead body of anyone and fails to purify himself defiles the Lord's tabernacle. That person must be cut off from Israel. Are you following me? For this very reason, the priest and the temple assistant decide to avoid this half-dead man on the road. And verses 31 and 32, we can see what they did. When a priest saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side to the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. Then he also passed by the other side. So they chose to avoid this dead body, to follow these religious laws. They even crossed a road to stay away from the dead body, you know, as far as possible. And they're religious righteous. And they made the right decision in that sense. All they did was to follow the religious rules and laws. And they were religiously righteous. But the problem was, their religious passion overrode their compassion for other child of God. While the priest and the temple assistant strictly followed the rules and let their religious passion override their compassion, the Samaritan lived out his compassion for the half-dead man. Verse 33, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt what? He felt compassion for him. And at the end of the story, Jesus said what? Now go and do the same. Now go and do the same. In other words, do not let your religious passion override your compassion for other children of God. If I judge others who have a theologically different point of view from yours, and if even attack them with my righteous passion or righteousness, I refuse Jesus Christ's order in the name of Jesus Christ. Our one and only commander has ordered us to follow his greatest commandment. Love God, love other children of God as yourself. Are you letting your religious passion override your compassion for others? Or are you living out your compassion for other children of God as the commander ordered. In Matthew 8, Jesus Christ himself shows us another example. After he taught a long series of lessons called the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, the first thing he did was to heal a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus reached out and touched him, touched the man with leprosy. Wait a minute. What did he do? He reached out his hands and touched the man with leprosy. The whole chapter of Leviticus chapter 13 is about regulations about leprosy. And according to those regulations, the lepers were considered unclean, and they had to live in isolation. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 47. "The leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and hair of their head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Isn't it cut and clear? The regulation is cut and clear, yes. But Jesus Christ did not let his religious passion override his compassion for the man with the leprosy. Jesus Christ rather reached out his hands and touched him. He said, "I am willing to heal you. Be clean." The commander himself lived out his greatest commandment. And he tells us this morning, now go and do the same. Go and do the same. Today, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our one and only commander, orders us, do not refuse to follow my order in my name. Do not let your religious passion override your compassion for other children of God. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 13, 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are Jesus Christ's disciple. The world will know that you are Christian by your love. By your love. What will you do with the greatest commandment of Jesus Christ? The only and one commander. What are you going to do with it this week? God loves you. So do I. And there's nothing you can do about it. Don't you appreciate it? Then now go and do the same. Let us love, and the world will know we are Christians by our love. By Allah. Let us praise the Lord together with this song. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. The world will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. It's time for response to God's grace. If you have not prepared offerings, now's the time that you may find the envelope and then write a check and put it in the envelope and put the envelope into your Bible and start praying for God's church, praying for all the ministry and missions, and praying for your new pastor, you know, praying for all those who are in need of our prayers and our ministries. I'd like to invite you to take a moment of silence now and count the blessings God has already given to you. Let us take a moment of silence. Offering time is not time to make a donation to the church. It is time to count all the blessings God has already given to us. Let us take time and count our blessings. If you are alone, you may write them down. If you have someone with you, then you share with one another. I'm grateful to God for this and for that. You may send offerings to the church, 435 Central Street, Acton, Massachusetts, 01720. You may see that the address on the screen, or you can visit our website, and that there are several different ways to how you can offer, send offerings. But please don't send it right away. If you use a check or a cash, whatever, then you make the envelope and put it in your Bible. And start praying for all those that God will reach out through our ministry and missions. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's so great privilege to be part of your ministries and missions, Lord. Yes, we are called to your ministries. Yes, we are called to live out the compassion for other children of you, Lord. Fill our heart. Fill our heart with thanksgiving. So that we may become cheerful givers. We may be part of your ministry with our grateful hearts. We praise your name, and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts. Yes, God cares about our hearts, not the amounts of our offerings. And all say, as we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. 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 Dorothy Wurst, let us pray for all those suffering from coronavirus disease. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Andrea Bonar, pray for my brother-in-law, Craig, whose leg still has not healed. He may be having surgery soon. And for his granddaughter, Brenna, who is recovering from a ruptured appendix. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Michelle Holland, please pray for my friend Wendy, who broke her ankle on a trail in Maine and has a long ride home to Acton today for surgery. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Chris Callahan, prayers for Emma Burns' family, a 12-year-old student at the school I worked who passed away. Also for her classmates and teachers, this is my prayer. This is our prayer. Christy Heron, please say prayers for my dear Uncle Greg and Aunt Vicky, who contracted the COVID-19 from their church worship. My Aunt Vicky is in the ER with lung damage in Greenville, South Carolina. Please bring heal. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. And I have one prayer request myself. You know, I've just made a friend, you know, from a neighborhood, my neighbors, and her name is Paro, and she's in stage 4 cancer now. So her name is Paro, P-A-R-O. You know, please pray for her. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Let us take a moment of silence and pray for all those who I need our prayers. Let us pray for all those who are suffering from coronavirus disease. Let us pray for Craig, who has a leg problem, maybe possible surgery soon. Let us pray for Brenna, who's recovering from a ruptured appendix. Pray for Wendy, who broke her ankle and will have a surgery. We pray for Emma Burns' family, who lost a child. We pray for the family and her friends and teachers. We pray for Greg and Vicky. Who contracted COVID-19. And Vicky is struggling, suffer from lung damage now. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us exchange the sign of peace. The peace of Christ be with you. The peace of Christ with you all. I have several announcements to share with you. First, thank you all, the worship leaders here, and thank you for worshiping with us this morning. You know, if you're a visitor or a newcomer, please check our website. And also, if you want to talk to me or get connected to me or the church, you know, please send me an email. It's joyofnewengland@gmail.com. Joy, J-O-Y, of newengland@gmail.com. And if anyone wants a pastor visit, you know, please send me an email or text me or call me at my cell number. And we've been doing this, you know, pastor visiting, you know, family or an individual, you know, outdoor, either your, you know, front yard, or you can meet me at the church. And this morning I found that we have only 3 spots left, so please sign up. And it's been a great experience. It's so great. So I hope that I can meet you right there. You can find that sign up online. And after the service, we have a virtual coffee hour. The password is coffee hour. It's one word. It's password is coffee hour. You can find the Zoom link on our website. Please come and join us. Please come and join us. My siblings in Christ, it's a new day God has created for us. God has given to us as a gift. Let us live out the compassion for ourselves and other children of God. And at the end of the day, we may give it back to God as a gift. Amen. Now go in peace. Let us bless each other through this song. The grace and peace of Christ be with you, my friend. Go and share the love of God, love that never ends. Amen.